Hi.
Generic.
He wants the special intro, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to do the sober one. But he wants a special
the hip hop version. I like that.
You got a okay. Well, that's the regular one of the podcast. I'll put this on here. Hello, and welcome to the EZU DW podcast. We are live from UFA.
Ultimate Fighting Arena.
Yeah, bro, and I'm with my man, Axis, aka Jim, or the opposite, and we have a special guest today.
Oh, shit.
Really special.
Yeah.
From the US.
Woo!
Best on ticket. Man, Pedal Core is here with us. You gotta clap for that. I messed up the sound, but we got a clap for that. That made you laugh, though.
No,
that was a great intro.
Thank you for the intro, and thank you for having me.
Yeah. We are happy to have you. And I don't play Tekken, right? Mm-hmm. But I watch, sometimes I watch the community,
FGC.
The FGC, how it plays out on this side of the FGC. And I really like what you're doing, right? Because you got... You look like a cool person. And there's something, I don't know if it's true. Apparently, your sister speaks French.
Yeah.
Yes.
Facts.
And how come you don't speak French, bro?
We went in two different directions in terms of career. Let's just say it like that. That is her career. That is her life. That is what she does.
That's the job, to speak French.
Yes. You know, like sociolinguistics and things like
okay.
that. She teaches. Me, well, I graduated with a degree in illustration, like fine art studio type thing. And I ended up being a pro gamer. That kind of
how did that happen?
That was not the plan.
Natural.
It really was not the plan. But what happened was I graduated, but I was still playing on the side during school breaks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And if I wasn't playing, I was watching it.
Okay. Mm.
So after I graduated, I had like a lot of good showings. Like I was an upcoming player. So mm-hmm. I got signed to a team called Equinox Gaming. It's done now, but like they were really
Wait a minute. Hmm. You started playing like, in the same year you had a sponsor?
No.
You got signed later.
Yeah, like after I graduated, in the same year I got sponsored, and then I became a pro.
How cool were you?
This is a cheat code.
Come on, bro.
Because it wasn't something I expected, but when I had the chances to play and get better, I took those chances, and also my peers were also upcoming players, so they were constantly getting better. So you play people that are getting good.
You were leveling up.
Yes.
Leveling up.
It was just kind of happening on its own, even though I was focused on school. It just happened on the side.
All right. Okay. And you went to get the sponsor, or they came to you?
Oh, they came to me. They scouted me. They reached out to me. When I said, I'm done with the other sponsor that I had, because I had a sponsor before that.
Mm-hmm.
They said, they reached out to me. And one of, my teammates at the time, he was already on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And they were treating him really well, so... You know, I'm like, okay, then.
Okay, and what was your first game? Tekken 7?
No, I've been playing Tekken since the first one. So
You started with Tekken?
Yeah, just Tekken in general. I played a lot of fighting games, but Tekken is the one that
only 3Ds or regular?
All of them. When I was a kid, I played all of them, but I gravitated towards Tekken specifically because the way I understood fighting games, it worked better with Tekken. Everything else was kind of, it was fun, but... I like Tekken and Soul Calibur the most.
Okay, you liked it. It wasn't like because you were better at it.
No.
No.
Because I played everything as a kid. But Tekken, I felt like anything I wanted to do, like I felt like I had more options. I felt like I could express myself and my gameplay the way I wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more deeper.
Yeah.
I don't agree, but I accept it.
And it's a Capcom guys.
Yeah,
Street Fighter 4, Street Fighter 5, Street Fighter 6.
Yeah. But there's something interesting about the business side, right? Because you were just doing school and you're playing on the side. You didn't have that as a plan for a career.
Right.
So that when that happens, how do you negotiate a contract? What? Because you kind of don't know anything about it.
Right.
How does it happen? Your first contract, you were paid. I don't know if you can talk about it.
Not really.
You can't really.
You know, that
NDAs
kind of stuff.
Yeah. But, I mean, how did you come to negotiate a contract or know the business? How did you that happen?
I think from the vibe that I got from Equinox Gaming, they felt genuine. They cared a lot. The CEO of the team, she had a lot of experience already in esports.
Mm-hmm.
She had worked with different teams, like Echo Fox and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd been in the esports space for a very long time.
Mm.
So when I joined the team, I felt safe with her. She taught me She taught me how to negotiate contracts. She taught me how
really?
To advocate for myself, build my brand. She helped me understand, like, okay, what is this opportunity worth it or is it not? Are you getting paid? What's your hourly rate? That kind of thing. So she helped sculpt me and my brand to be genuine and authentic, but also to be, you know, ultimately, like, still be savvy to the business, because people do get exploited in these industries, and it's important to have somebody in your corner who's telling you, you shouldn't do that.
Man, shout out. What's her name?
Emily Tran.
Emily, shout out to you, because
shout out.
Mean, she might be a friend or something close, someone
she's
close
my manager
to you now.
And best friend.
Oh man,
oh.
She's the wrong boss.
she.
Because nobody is that cool and that helpful.
Yeah,
and that's the first time you met.
That's
good business.
We met the first time in Amsterdam. I was newly signed, and they flew me out to an international event.
Man, hey, come on. Where's that chico?
And I met her there, and it was like we clicked right away.
Yeah.
And she's looked out for me for a very long time. Not everybody gets so lucky.
Yeah,
but
that's for real.
I'm glad that my experience has been with, like, her.
Yeah.
And a woman.
Yeah.
So she understands the experiences that I have, and that matters, because I'm not just a player. I'm a person who goes through different things than others, because, you know, a lot of the players don't look like me. So it's a different kind of experience, but she understands. Mm. She understands.
Is it, the question is going to be kind of weird. Is it really that rough? Because I'm a man. I don't know. I don't know what happens to women. Sometimes I hear women talk about it. I interviewed women in game.
Yeah.
And they talked about it.
Kayane, for example.
And, you know, I don't know. I don't know the perspective. Is it really that impactful? There is something weird that happened in tournament. How is it for women in fighting games? Like before and today. That's maybe there's a difference.
I think
back then and
I think things are getting a bit better, but, like, with social media now, women are talking about their experiences.
Okay. Yeah.
And so they need to be told, because social media wasn't as
prominent.
Exactly. It wasn't as prominent back then. But because we're using it more now to connect to people, we're also talking about the things that happened to us and how they need to change.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we're women, we're in a marginalized group.
Mm.
People aren't used to maybe sometimes interacting with us or seeing us because we're not the majority.
Mm.
Some of them have their own prejudices, their own notions about women. We can't
bias.
Yeah, like, just bias. Like, you know, we can't process the game the same way as a guy, when it has nothing to do with gender at all.
Are there really people that think like that?
Yes. Oh,
I don't think so.
Because when I hear that,
people
I'm
do
like,
talk like this. Yes.
I,
for real,
I can't picture it. You know, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because fighting games is the only place.
I think it's just trolling.
No.
Maybe
these are beliefs that people have.
People.
Because they have their own prejudices. They have their own, their own beliefs, because they haven't been around enough people in these different groups, and I just think, you know, they have a limited mindset, ignorance, willful ignorance. But like I said, you know, it's great that there are organizations that exist that are these safe spaces for marginalized groups, you know, and women. So, like, hey, you can come here, you can play, you can feel safe because there's people that look like you. So it can help you get a safer entry into the community without feeling like, you know, overwhelmed. Like, because, you know, a one woman and a whole sea full of, like, men at a tournament, that's a lot for a lot of people.
Yeah, even if nothing's happened, you kind of feel a pressure.
Yeah.
Be surrounded by men, you know.
Yeah, because, like, and when you hear the horror stories about things that happen with women in these spaces, and the treatment, because it does happen. People profiling you a certain way because they think you're just there to support your boyfriend, even though you're there as a player. This happens to women all the time. They don't assume, they don't believe that we could be pros. It's not everybody, but that those beliefs still exist. But it's great that these organizations are here to help women feel safe, because that means that you'll see more of us at the tournaments kicking butt. And it's happening. And it's happening more consistently now. But it's because these safe spaces are created.
And you have people like Emily Tran and yourself, and you are Kayane that can help you, you know, get inside a group and feel safe because she's there with you.
Yeah.
And you're going to do that role now for other people, I guess.
Yeah, like,
because you're an ambassador, right?
I people sometimes refer to me as one, but I kind of just am a person who people can talk to. They want to know my insight, I'll tell you. They never have to feel worried about, you know, an experience being bad, because, you know, like, I'll be honest with you about what I went through to get to where I am, but also like, I stream, and sometimes I'm their first experience with coming into the FGC. So, you know, I think if you can just give people a good experience when they come in, that helps a lot. But yeah, in other ways, we have created like a safe space for people. We have with our tournaments, with like
and
regional
online.
Events. Yeah.
Online helps a lot because sometimes you want to train, but you don't want to go to the, you know, sometimes there are weed parties or hookups to play games, but full of men. And you don't know how to get inside that group. So online helps because you can train without having to go there.
And online really helps that a lot. Mm. So I think that's also, I think, why we've seen maybe an increase in maybe women competing more too, because online has been more prevalent in the last like 2 years because of COVID. So now,
yeah.
You know, you're practicing against tons of different people
in
these tournaments, like ICFC, for example. Love ICFC.
Yeah.
And, you know, I see a lot of women compete in them. And I think it's making them more comfortable, more confident. I get it. It's overwhelming.
This is the way.
All right. But there's something else I want to talk about. And that's gaming, pure gaming. Why don't you play Street Fighter?
I play. Like, I think.
Because you need that energy in Street Fighter.
Well, I don't think that's my responsibility personally.
That's yours. You should promote Street Fighter more. I'm kidding.
I'm like, I liked Third Strike a lot.
Oh,
I thought it was an amazing game. Mm. I liked Alpha 3 as well. Yeah. But the newer ones just don't really pique my interest the same because by that point I already fell in love with Tekken and Soul Calibur. So, but I think Street Fighter, the old ones, had a lot more charm to me just because I grew up with them. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like Third Strike. Nothing.
Even Street Fighter 6, because that looks like Tekken a little bit.
Not really.
Yeah.
Because it's still a 2D game. And
you need that 3D environment.
I personally prefer to have options where I can move around their room. Some people don't care about that. They like their options, you know, here.
Yeah.
Me, I need to have that whole 360, personally. Mm. I like to have more options than just, okay, well, I got to hold this at the wall. Like, I'm good. Yeah. I don't want to.
As a pro player, how do you train? Because some people say, sometimes, some weird things I heard, like Luffy, he plays other games to be better at Street Fighter V.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird, but I can get it. Because sometimes I play Guilty Gear, and so I will learn a way to play Guilty Gear that I'm going to implement in Street Fighter V or Street Fighter 4 or other games, right? Is it something you do, or what's your technique? How do you train?
The way I train is I look at matchups, how other players who play my characters approach matchups.
Yeah.
So say if I'm like trying to deal with, okay, how do I play against Paul? Like, or what's a better way to approach playing Paul? Mm-hmm. I'll watch other players play against the character in tournament. Or I also go to practice mode. And I'll just test different situations.
Yeah.
It's about not just practicing it in the lab. It's about applying it in actual situations. So you need to play the people who are playing these characters that are giving you a hard time. And that doesn't just stop when you become pro. You constantly have to be sharp and on your stuff.
Yeah.
24/7. So I like to play the game to continue to be sharp. But it's not like other players don't. It's just your brain kind of needs a break.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to ask. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need a break because you got it happened to me. I stopped playing the game for like 2 weeks and I get better. I don't know why. Maybe that was that break.
It's like your brain is like marinating on the information.
Because
like if you're continuously just playing, you're not really absorbing the information.
Yeah.
I think it's important to just play. Like, okay, got it. And now you can think on it for a little bit, just like tournaments as well. Playing tournaments back to back, sometimes you're not absorbing all the information. What happened? What did you lose to? What did you win?
I didn't think about that.
But
Tekken is a knowledge game.
And legacy skills.
Yeah. And you must gather information.
Mm-hmm.
Watch video is more important, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
To get in training.
Oh, to learn how people adapt to situations, how they react, you got the field experience.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think both matter, where you watch and you apply, and then you generate the muscle memory to react to the things that you see. You need all of those things to get better, just like any traditional sport would, football, basketball. They watch tapes all the time.
For real, we were talking about Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, he does that a lot.
And it's important. That's how you get better. It's not about just playing. It's watching. Mm. You have to watch and analyze and theorize. Mm. Talk about the game with your peers. I do that all the time with my training partner, and God, has it been a godsend.
Who's your sparring partner?
Shadow 20Z, one of the best players in America and
in
the world.
Yeah, my guy.
Okay.
He's a cultural
Claudio,
killer.
Claudio player.
Yeah.
And Zafina.
Yeah.
That's really important.
And Kazuya. And Anna. Jesus. But he's...
How old is he? He looks like young.
Yeah.
He's like, what is he now? Maybe like 23? Maybe 24? I could be wrong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but he's younger. Okay. Yeah.
And you've been playing professionally for how long now?
4 years.
There's something really interesting. I was talking with, I don't remember which player that was. He said, something you got to learn to adapt to is the pressure, the fear of losing. Is it something you have a lot? Because he was saying, sometimes when you're just a random player, you don't have that expectation. Yep. So you come and just play your game. But when you're kind of a good player and when you win a lot, you have some, you know, the background now noise on social media. They want to see you lose. And you have that pressure when you're on the tournament. You have the regular pressure of losing, but you have that pressure too. Is it something that happened to you? And how do you deal with it?
What I try to stay away from is people's expectations being projected onto me. It's not, they're not in the journey. It's me doing it. So whether I win or lose, it's on me. Yes, there is pressure to be strong and be good, but I have to also accept that losing is a part of growth. Sometimes you're not going to play the way you want. It doesn't happen, but then you go back to the lab, practice what you did wrong, and then you get better from there. There's so many tournaments that exist. Just because you lose once or you don't do as good as you want doesn't mean it's the end of anything. People need to be comfortable with the idea of losing, because that's what makes the strongest players. That's what will make you one of the best ones. Because the more you learn from your mistakes, you won't make the same mistake twice. I tell you that, like, in anybody else's opinion, I don't care. Is it annoying sometimes? Totally. But I really try and keep, like, that part of social media away from me. I have a boundary so that I can continue to grow the way I want and create my own expectations of myself. Yeah. And if I don't meet them, okay, we keep on practicing. That's what it's about. As a pro, it's not like the growth just stops once you get there.
Yeah.
You're constantly evolving. And with Tekken, there's always somebody who's going to, like, one-up you. Like, but that's what makes competition so special.
So it goes crescendo.
But it makes us strong. It makes every region so strong for that.
It makes the game good, too.
Yeah.
And very competitive. And very fun to watch.
Yeah. But were you always like that? Or is it a point you had to reach? I mean, I don't know. Maybe you have, TCC was talking about Buddhism.
Buddhism.
That have grounding him. There is something you got to, you know, have a support system to go beyond that.
Yeah.
Is it something you had from the beginning that's your natural state of mind, or something you have to learn? You had to learn.
I think because I've had the support for so long, sometimes my disappointments in tournament, like for performances, it didn't hurt as hard because I had the reminders from my support system that, hey, you still got it. Like, you're still good. You're still that player. You know, don't give up. But I never thought about quitting or anything, but they always encouraged me. And that was the big thing. The encouragement, the support, right? Regardless of the win or loss, they're right behind me watching.
That's really
cheering
important.
For me.
Yeah.
And I've had that since the moment I started. And of course, the support system has evolved over time. Mm-hmm. But
you really had a lot of blessings, right?
Yeah, because I tell people the only reason I've been able to do this for as long as I have is because I have support. If I didn't have support, I would not be doing this. Like, truthfully, I wouldn't be.
Yeah, that's too much pressure. And how do you deal with the noise we're talking about on social media? The same super system that helps you, or there is something else you implemented, like blocking people? I don't know.
Oh, I mean, of course, naturally, on social media, blocking is such a beautiful tool.
Yeah. Yes, frame one, block.
Yeah. For real. But I also feel that it's a mental thing. And so I have certain resources like mental performance coaches, things like that, too.
You have that?
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it's a part of being an athlete, right? And this is a sport. Like, it's esports, but it's a sport. It's not traditional, but it is. The resources you need to get better. So mental performance coaches help you with that stuff, so that regardless of what you read or what you see, you still know that you've got the skill to take on anyone because you've done it before. It's easy to read 8 great comments and then read one that's like, well, you're trash. And you're like,
But sometimes you focus on the wrong one.
Yeah.
There's like 90 people that say you were great, we love you, you're inspiration. And there's one guy.
And then you hyper-focus on the one guy who's like, but
this guy, this guy though, their tweet be fire. They know how to get under your skin. You know? They always know how to fire the thing that would, you know, get you, you know, fired up.
Yeah, and they like that because they want to ruin somebody's day, but it's not worth the energy.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of patience and confidence at some point to realize, like, I don't owe anybody an explanation on why I lost or what would I, you know, if I want to talk about it, I'll talk about it. But like, if there's so much support that people have, and I think it's important to focus on that. Mm-hmm. But like, also being confident in your abilities, regardless of the win or loss, is important because you won't doubt yourself as much. And that's something I've been working on with the mental performance coach, because it's the confidence, not just when you're in the game and when you're doing well. It's the confidence you have as a lifestyle when you wake up every day. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to learn. Some people just wake up, you know, and they have all this confidence because they've had it over time.
Yeah,
that's you must build this.
It's something you build.
It's something you had to build. Mm.
Yeah.
So this is a mental performance show, coach or daily affirmation. What did you use?
A mental performance coach, my therapist, but also I write, something I never really did before, but journaling. I journal. So
I
talk about my feelings. If something didn't feel comfortable, like, or something made me feel real bad, like, damn, I took this loss really hard. Like, this was hard. I know I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But really keeps me focused on getting better regardless of the loss is I'm competitive. And I know I can do it, but it's because my support network always tells me that I can. And when I do it, I'm like, it's because I have them, you know?
Shout out to them.
They're wonderful.
Yeah.
And I have a whole Tekken coach as well. So, yeah.
Man, you got that's a village.
Yeah.
Does that come with Spectrum, or is it something you had to get yourself?
What?
The performance, mental performance coach, the Tekken coach. And
that's through my sponsors, COG and Red Bull.
Oh.
They have resources where they help the players mentally tap into the things that might be bogging them down.
Mm. You mentioned therapy. I don't know if you want to talk about it, because that's something really important in the community. I was talking to another player too, and he went to depression, right? And he was talking about that, and he said he had to, he didn't want, because there's a stigma, right, about therapy. So he didn't want to go there. And, you know, I say, I don't know if it's true, but I think for men, there's more pressure because you don't want to, you know, appear weak.
Seem weak. Stuff. Yeah. It's the thing.
And when he talked about it, I was like, it's cool that somebody that is seen, because that was a top player from France.
Okay.
Or like someone like you saying he went to therapy helps the cause, because people would be like, this guy isn't weak. I know. He's strong in the game. He got, he looked like he has confidence. If this guy can go through it, then going to therapy is kind of normal. Is it something you talk about a lot? You normalize to? Is something you had pressure going to?
I realized at one point that being in the community, there were certain things about myself that I started to feel bad about, which I shouldn't have, like appearance or like...
Appearance?
Yeah. There's a lot of pressure on women to look a certain way to be seen as credible.
Okay.
Or like be considered in general in the community, like it's some beauty pageant. You know, that kind of stuff. And so self-image was something that I did deal with. But I'm like, when these things happen to people, whether it's in the community or not, to get better as athletes, you have to face the things that have hurt you, that have maybe not positively shaped you, but maybe have kept like a weight on you.
Yeah.
So my sister, she recommended therapy.
Mm.
And so I got it. I've been getting it for a very long time.
How long?
Maybe like over a year.
I agree.
I guess not very long, but a long time to me.
Yeah, no.
But I have a good relationship with my therapist and...
Physical or talk space or things like
that?
Oh,
yeah, like over the internet. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like it better.
Me too. I actually like it like that too.
Mm.
And it's hard to confront the things that make you feel weak and small, because you don't want to admit that maybe what others think, it hurts you.
Mm. Yeah.
But... to learn about self-worth and love and to talk about those things openly in a space that's safe has been amazing for me, because everybody has different like things that they deal with, adversities and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, one of the things was that. And to feel comfortable in myself, if I'm going to be committing to this as a pro like career, then I need to tackle this feeling. Yeah. And I need to be comfortable in my own skin so I can perform the way that I want, not thinking about what anybody else cares about with, you know.
Yeah.
Just one thing, but yeah.
Did you get over that?
I think I've been doing pretty good with it. I feel a lot more confident now. Mm-hmm. It's been, 3 years ago, it definitely was different. I felt very conscious.
Mm-hmm.
I felt definitely kind of like it was a judgment, you know, because of, you know, looks and things like that. But I'm in a very good place. Therapy has helped that a lot. I have a great support system. I have a boyfriend who loves me very much. And
shout out to him too.
Yes, yeah, he used to be a Mortal Kombat pro player. And
man, you played it wrong.
it was he's been very good for me. Mm. He helps me realize that stuff is there. Like, you know, I deserve to feel good about myself, express myself the way I want. Mm. He's always in my corner. I mean, like you said, it takes a village, and I got.
Yeah, that's great. That's really important. So you got to build a village. You want to be pro, even in life, even if you don't play, you need that village. The support system is something really important. And about that, things went a little bit quick for you, fast, because you started, and just when you started, you had a company that approached you. That changes things. You don't play just for yourself. You gotta do the ROI for the company, right? So you don't play the same way. So you have to be, mature fast and professional fast. So, and all these things, how do you deal with the way it changes your life and you enter a new environment just like in 1 year? You were just doing school and like, yeah, this company, I was just playing tournament. I got to go to this other country. I got to meet Emily Tran. Come on, that's the CEO. I mean, that's kind of fast. How do you adapt to that? Is it something that was hard for you to do?
It wasn't really fast. It was 2018 to 2022. I graduated in 2018.
4 years. It's kind of fast, man. People be playing for 20 years and then they didn't reach that.
This is a whole man.
I felt like it was a lot of, what's the word? I felt like I had a lot of time. Mm. Like I got.
Yeah, and there was COVID.
Yeah, so yeah. I had time to really establish my brand and learn about the business side. Mm. Because before COVID, I was just, you know, I was playing as Equinox Gaming's player.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? So I was figuring out what that looked like for me. Then I realized I wanted to expand my brand. Mm. I wanted to go further than just the FGC. I wanted to have like financial stability to the point where it's like, you know, my career takes care of me, but I also can reach other communities and have exposure outside of just fighting games. You know, we can go further, you know? And COVID really helped with that because I talked to Emily about it and we made a plan and we started doing it and it really helped a lot. I used social media to talk about like the things that I was doing so that people knew I was out here doing it.
You gotta
be your biggest hype man or woman. Whatever it is, you gotta hype yourself up and tell people. And I really got a lot of opportunities because of that, because it was all great things. I want to share that with people. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know what? We like her. She's doing good stuff. Yeah.
But that's, I learned about you. Mm. Like, I feel the passion. So that was really cool. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, because of that, it really helped attract different opportunities and I think sponsors as well. Some of them have been looking at me for a while. Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately that 4 year span, it prepared me. Mm. It really did. If it was just 1 year, I wouldn't have been ready.
Yeah.
Because I definitely gotten approached by a sponsor before when I just, like, almost, I almost graduated. Mm-hmm. It was about at the end, and
it was too early.
It wouldn't have worked anyway. Mm-mm-mm. But I developed and matured as a person.
Yeah,
learned, you know, about myself as a player, my brand, and all that. So I was ready. I was able to meet the opportunity with no rose-colored glasses. Very realistic, but I was the full package, and I really like that. I'm glad that it happened that way.
You're really an amazing person. Yeah. Your journey is kind of fantastic.
You got the right mindset.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, we don't waste a cry. If you cry, I'm going to wreck.
I'll save them.
No, but I'm really impressed. And let's go back to the gaming. There is something I wanted to summarize the different schools you have to learn to be better at the game.
The mind game. Yeah,
so you have three schools.
Punish.
That's what I created. You're gonna tell me, give me an opinion about on that, and tell me where you feel you are. You have the school of mind games. A mind game, where you have to learn to learn about your opponent. Some people do it with a quickness, like during the game, so they can see your patterns, see the way you play, and adapt. And some people have to watch the games to see the way you play. But the bottom line is, he has to learn how the opponent operates. And you have the technical school. You have to learn the game. How to do, it's not wave dash. In Tekken, you say?
Backdash.
Korean backdash.
With the Korean backdash, yeah, that one. That's a really technical thing, I think. And you have to learn all the things of the game. But I don't know about Tekken, but you have Guilty Gear.
The movies. All the movies.
Roman Cancel. Yeah. Burst. You have Focus Cancel. Driving Pack. Different games. You have to know how to use that these elements. Yeah. That's the technical side, I think. And you have the execution side. The execution school, you have to know yourself and, you know, train. So the combos isn't something you think about. When you got the opportunity, it just goes through. You already know. Your hand goes like itself, themselves, you know. So I think that you got mind game, technique, and execution.
To be good in Tekken, I think you must have got all of them.
I love your lab, my man. But I think...
Oh, yeah, man.
We already talked about it.
I'm kidding. So what do you think about these three schools? Do you think it summarizes the fighting games enough? And where do you think you are better at?
So you said it's mind games, execution, but also like watching?
Mind game is by knowing the opponent.
Yes.
Technique, knowing the game.
The knowledge of the game.
Execution, be able to execute. Yeah.
I think those are like some pretty good pillars of really understanding fighting games because, you know, you need...
Colonel Cole said it!
Facts!
Yeah!
I mean, because I feel like so many of those techniques and the ones that weren't mentioned fall under what you talked about.
Yeah.
Mind games is adaptation. How do you adapt to your opponent? Execution, it falls under movement, but also falls under when some split-second decision needs to be made. Are you executing right away?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it has to be easy or not. Depends on the character, right? But when you see somebody whiff something, see somebody do something that you've seen happen a few times, are you ready to step? Are you ready to rage? Are you ready to do what you to capitalize on that situation? And technique. Technique is whatever falls within the game. Like, you know, we're talking punishment. Are you ducking strings? Do you recognize what you need to step? What is the opponent's, the character's weak side? All these things matter.
Yeah.
In some games, I think they're a little more layered and weighted with the stuff like
that. Tekken. She said that. That's what I wanted to say.
Tekken is very like layered with that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do think you're right. At the core, those three things are like kind of the pillars of what.
And execution.
Execution is massive. Like, sorry.
Yeah, no.
So like, yeah, like I said, like it could be something easy. Like, okay, I need to whiff punish right here because I saw them whiff right here. Mm-hmm. Or somebody does a move that has pushback. But the move is negative 17. If you have a character who can do that punish, are you executing it right away? My character literally has if Paul does a death fist, it has pushback.
Can you get close to the mic? Sorry.
Paul, if he does a death fist, it's like minus 17 plus maybe like a bit more, maybe a little more, minus 17 or higher. But Elisa can punish it with her back forward too. That's an execution thing. So you have to recognize the active frame of getting, you know, and then you blocked it. Okay now it's done. Now I execute my move. Like, that kind of stuff matters a lot in the game. So, yes, execution matters because some characters have stuff that can counter other characters' moves a lot in the game. And that all comes down, yet again, to knowledge and legacy skill. For real.
And food for thought, because I was really thinking about this thing. I was saying, people that are good at mind games beat technical guys. Because technical guys, they're predictable. They play the game as it should be played. They focus on how you should be placed, so they don't do the weird stuff.
I'm not agree with that.
Yeah, maybe that's
in possible. Tekken,
so you're saying like technical beating non-technical is what you're saying?
No, mind game adapts to people that are regular. It's constant. When you're technical, people that are really technical, they used to play. You know what they're gonna do because they're gonna do what's supposed to be done. When you play a guy that is mind game, he just reacts to what you do. He doesn't have really a play style by himself. Like, when you play the CPU is really technical. You do A, he does B.
Pattern.
And mind game guys, they recognize pattern and they act on
it. To adapt, okay.
So mind game guys are strong, to me, strong against technical guys. Technical guys are strong against execution guys because execution guys, they don't care about the game. They just want to do a big combo.
I'm going to do my electric wing office and I'm going to make and sure
it hits. He's never going to have the opportunity. So
it's interesting because it feels like, if you have mind games but you lack technique, it only gets you so far.
Yeah.
If you have technique but you lack mind games, you only get so far.
And execution, you lack the other two.
I think there needs to be a harmony between all of them. Doesn't mean
it's like the Trinity.
Yeah. I think it's important to have mind games, but also be able to be technical when it matters. Because it can't just be one or another. Because I think if you're a little too mind games-ish, you're not applying neutral. You're not conditioning your opponent. You're not creating mind games.
Yeah. Exactly.
But if you're just, you know, but if you're too technical, you're just like, I'm waiting for something to happen.
And you're predictable.
I'm waiting for the sky to fall, you know. And okay, but if you have to open somebody up. Mm. And that would mean apply mind games. Yeah. So, yeah, I get it.
And when you're technical, you sound like some people that are technical, they get angry easily. Because they're like, you're doing some weird stuff. Yeah, of course. I'm going to adapt. You can't just sit around and expect me to play the way you want me to play.
And that's the beauty of competition. Everybody plays so differently. You can have 8 people who play the same character, but they're all going to play them different and use a completely different toolkit. Some moves might be the same, but...
In Tekken, precisely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right about
it. It's the beauty of it. Mm.
If you had 100 points and you have to make the perfect player, how do you, you know, balance the point? And you use your points between the schools, mind game, technique, and exit.
And how many points do I have?
100.
100?
Yeah.
Okay.
33.
Nah, come on, bro. That's boring. And you won't go far with that, I think.
Mind games. I give mind games. I'm not good at math, and I can't think about it right now, but like...
Let's say 10 points.
No, thank you. Thank you. Okay, we'll put 10. So mind games, I'd say probably like a good 4. Mm-hmm. Those are essential.
Okay.
Especially if I have a character who's mixy, gimmicky. Shout you. Super gimmicky.
Yeah.
It's
fun to see.
Yeah.
It's so fun. Yeah. And then you talked about technique, right?
Mm.
This is 4. But depends on the character. If the technique is kind of like... give it a 3.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. 3. Because I think depending... My characters don't require that much like technique. Like not a lot of execution / technique. I think there are certain things that are hard, but I'm used to doing them.
Yeah.
And then, so that's... Well, I guess in the other 3
so
points...
So it's 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe 5 for mind game and 2.5 for the other 2.
I mean, I wouldn't mind that either. I really think mind games are a huge part of it. Like,
okay. Yeah.
Technique is like a given, like... But your mind games and like those clutch moments when you need to apply it, I think that matters so much.
Yeah.
I just think, like I said, neutral's a given. You have to have neutral because then you wouldn't be able to get mind games.
Game, Tekken is not possible if you don't have the technical side locked down. All right. And what about you? You think you have the same points in mind game, technique, and execution?
I think it's a constant like ebb and flow. Like I feel like it always changes from tournament to tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm really pushed to my limit with certain types of players. So that means that sometimes that those points will go up and down.
Yeah.
You know, so then I really have to kind of, you know, be on my stuff if I'm going to, if I'm trying to like make sure that's a, like a nice harmony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes where that number is, it's very fine for the people I'm playing against. But the more I compete, the more I practice certain things, it really helps me be more okay with that harmony. It's okay that sometimes I want to do more mind games right here because that's the way I play. Or maybe right here I like to kind of poke a bit more. That's okay because that's what I do. Mm. Yeah.
Do you, that's to analyze and have this opinion, I used to watch a lot of fighting games. I play a few, but I watch a lot. Do you watch fighting games too, a lot? Like, do you watch Tekken only or other games too?
I've watched Soul Calibur and Tekken. Okay. But mainly. Yeah, mainly. I have watched other fighting games, but usually it's Soul Calibur and Tekken.
Okay.
And do you have a favorite player in Tekken?
In Tekken? That's a really hard one because I like a lot of players. But
you can only pick one.
That's really hard. But I will say this. I mean, it's probably super biased of me, but I don't care. My training partner, Shadow, he has a stone cold face.
Shout
and
out.
Poker face. Mm-hmm. He believes in himself 24/7.
Oh,
he always, you know, he believes in every like what he's capable of, and he when you see it in his play, you know.
You believe him.
It's surgical the way he approaches those things, and it's funny. I used to think like, man, that'd be cool if I could be like that, but then you know, I realized I don't think I'm supposed to be that way. But I can appreciate and learn things from him, and take certain things and apply to my own gameplay, and that's what I learned.
And I helped you a lot, as you said.
Yeah, and it's funny because he never make. Because he's so good, he doesn't talk down about how others play or like, you know, like it's, there's got to be the perfect way to play, right?
Yeah, there's
some people that think there's this ideal way. Hmm. But like when it comes to us, he appreciates the way that I play and that there's beauty in that. And I really think that's helped me feel more comfortable Because he's, you know.
What a great guy.
Yeah.
he's a very good person and just a great player. Every time I watch him play, he's just so sure. He's just so sure about everything. And he always looks so just.
Why
you know,
he's not
chill.
Here?
I think he had some stuff going on. It was kind of hard to come out last minute because he just come from like 2 tournaments.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And he won both. So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shout out to him.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah, and he just. I admire that a lot.
Man, you really know how to give people their flowers. Yeah, I hope you do that to yourself, too.
I think I've gotten better, but sometimes I think I'm so busy. Just sometimes it's this mentality sometimes that we have, like, where it's like, it's not enough.
Yeah.
I've learned, thanks to therapy and other things, I've realized, like, you know what? It's more than enough. More than enough. And sometimes I can just chill and breathe and be all right with, okay, you know, I don't have to do everything, but also I don't have to feel like I have to be perfect 24/7 when I play, or, you know, I have to do every, or, you know, be a part of every opportunity that I've asked to do. Like, I can be okay with myself at the end of the day. I think I'm getting better at that. So,
now that you're a worldwide player, that's worldwide caliber. You can meet every type of players, every type of commentators, every type of people in the industry.
Yeah.
Do you still have that fan moment? Where you're like, wow, I can't believe I'm sitting next to Nee.
Yeah. No, not anymore.
You don't have it.
Not anymore.
You didn't. You were watching Tekken. That was kind of your role models. You wanted to be that strong, I believe. Right?
I was.
Meeting them.
I've met
that
them.
That has to do something, right?
When I did, yes.
First. The
because
first time.
Because they also had a lot of respect for me. On social media, they've said, like, you know, you're really strong. Like, they'll just say, like, yo, she's so strong. Like, yo, she knows her character. Like, she is great, great. You know, like, and saying that stuff makes me feel good because those are the people you look up to.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was coming up the last 4 years of as a pro, it helped. That was helpful because you're like, oh, my God, they watch the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, people are afraid to play me. Oh, my God. You know, it's cool, but it's because, you know, it's you're revered. And I think that is so exciting because I used to, like, be afraid of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, they're so good. I want to do that stuff.
I reached a new level. Achievement unlocked.
And I'm still trying. I'm still working on that goal, and I'm getting closer and closer. But there's still some people that I still, like, when I watch them, wow. Nee definitely is one of them, for sure. Like, he, oh my God, the counter picking. He knows, like, the way he can switch between characters, like, nobody's business.
Yeah.
His patience, his defense.
That's peak Tekken.
Yeah. Evo? Oh my God. But I definitely, even watching, like, one of his opponents, Khan, from Pakistan, that was, yeah, same thing, though. Like, the amount of dedication people have to the game, and you watch them, and you're like, yeah, I can see why people look up to you. Like,
yeah.
Because it takes time, patience, tenacity to even do that. And not everybody has that. Who has the time, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe you have a job, and maybe it's hard to do that. But for those who can and have committed their lives to it, I respect them.
Yeah, you can only respect that. And there's something about in Marvel. There's a guy called Justin Wong. I think you know him.
Yes.
And while he was playing, there was something they called the Wong Factor. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that. The Wong Factor.
Yeah, Social media always talks about it.
Yeah, that's, I really like Marvel Dream. That's the game I like to watch a lot.
It's a very iconic game. Wasn't really in the FGC at that time. Like, not as much. It was mostly
kind of
a
niche game now.
But I remember, like, it was like, it created some hype moments. I know that, though.
The hype moments.
I know
the Wong Factor, you know that.
Yes,
Is there a Nee factor when you next to guys like that? Do you feel that pressure, the aura of the guy? Like, in, I don't know if you watch anime. You know Bleach, right?
I know
the
Bleach.
Ryatsu.
You have the Ryatsu.
The Ryatsu.
My coach told me about Ryatsu. But he said it like, he's like, you know when you're playing somebody and they drop a combo?
Yeah.
Because your aura is just that strong?
Yeah.
I said, oh my God, that happened! It's Ryatsu.
That's
funny.
That's a Ryatsu, right?
He taught me about
I think
Ryatsu
it's a tool.
From Bleach.
Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah, for players.
Because sometimes, I was talking with, I think it's Alune, that's a Street Fighter 4 player, and a Street Fighter player. Pardon me. And we were talking about Daigo, right?
Yeah.
He's a Street Fighter player too. You know Daigo.
Yes. No, don't worry. I know all the names.
I mean, you got to know Daigo. And he was saying, like, if you play against Daigo, sometimes you'll be standing just watching you. And we were saying, we are pretty sure if you do a sweep, he won't block it. But since it's Daigo, You think like maybe he knows something.
maybe he will.
He's up to something. You can't think he's. You always think he's gonna have a solution to whatever you're gonna apply.
Yeah.
So that makes it more difficult to go against him.
It makes it more difficult to apply pressure to yourself.
Mm. Exactly. That you shouldn't do.
And even to apply your game plan because you're so concerned that they're just gonna block everything you do.
Yeah.
But like it's like, come on.
Like they God or something.
Yeah. But I understand because you're so used to seeing your role models or these top-level players in these situations where they're just always clutching it out.
Yeah.
They're because they're so experienced, they do things that you think you can't do. Mm. But I truly believe that you playing those players makes you stronger so that you can also do those things. That's why you study them. Gods bleed. Top players, I'm going to say top players. Top players, pro players, they all bleed.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a matter of, like, now they won't let you.
Pressure management.
Yeah, pressure management. But the fact that you study them, you kind of, the way you get to know them, the way they appear normal.
Yeah.
Because they look like gods when you're a spectator. But when you watch the game, you understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And you get better yourself. So you're like, they're not, they're good, right? But not that good. I shouldn't be that afraid. He can bleed too. David may cry, gods may die.
Like, it's a thing where, like, now they probably will check you for doing certain things that, they'll, you know, if you try and do something too much, they will check you.
Yeah.
But I think that kind of Tekken is really good because it teaches, like, it kind of helps you apply mind games more.
Yeah.
In my opinion. But I think the more people play, the players they look up to, the top players, it makes them, one, more comfortable. Mm. Two, they get stronger because iron sharpens iron. And I think ultimately that kind of starts to go away the more you beat players that you see as higher caliber.
Yeah.
Which I get because I think we've all been there. I've been there. So.
That's the cool sides of the FGC. Sometimes when you get to that level, you see that now you are the one considered the way you consider you used to consider these guys.
The target on your back.
I'm the shit now. Yeah. I run the place. And how does it feel to come to France, to Paris, and see that much people that like you? You feel like a star, right? Is it?
No? I don't. I try not to say it like a star or celebrity because I'm like I'm just a person, but
you do.
I'm grateful that I've worked so hard.
Don't be humble.
Don't listen to Kendrick.
Don't get me wrong. Like I know I've established myself as a pro player, a strong one of America's best. I'm not saying that I have. It's just I like having those types of conversations where it's just me and a person talking in the space and they know they can approach me. I'm glad that people are, they respect me. I like having respect. Don't get me wrong. I love it because I've worked really hard.
Right.
And I didn't do it for anybody's approval, but I'm glad that people recognize the hard work. I do like that. It's nice to feel recognized and validated sometimes.
That's by your peers.
And that's all I care about is it's by my peers, not by people who don't understand anything about the game and they just want to be backseat watching and stuff. No, like people who really get that it's a grind and it's hard. But I also feel like I get to connect with a part of the community now too, because like I can help, I can give my insight, my experiences, I can give people tips on how to get here because I'm in this spot now, so I'm approachable and I care about that more than the being a star kind of thing. I like it. It's fun, and I love that everybody's so welcoming and kind, and they're like, "Let me take a picture." It's really awesome, and I feel touched and thankful.
How was it with your family when you told them that you wanted to go to pursue esports career? Did they understand? Because Luffy said his father was still asking him if he could, because he was going to find a job. The guy being a super player for 10 years now, but he does think he should all still find a job. What was it, something that your parents understood, or was it hard? You wanted to say something.
So yesterday esports is not today esports.
That's the truth too.
It's
how was it? Did your parent get it?
I think they kind of just let me do my thing. After I graduated in 2018, I had the goal of being a freelance illustrator. That's what I had worked and had grinded on it, forever, right? Graduated college, was feeling good about it. But when I started going to tournaments more and more, and I was getting the placements, and I was like, oh my God, Mom. Oh my God, Dad.
That's so cool.
And they were like, oh, great job. They noticed that it was becoming a main thing for me. I remember my father just saying, like, we just want to make sure that it takes care of you financially. And so I said, You know, at the time I felt like kind of hurt because I'm like, well, this is something I like. Why doesn't that matter? You know, all you want to do is see first place. No, he just, he knew what I was capable of, but he also is somebody who's on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
So having a little patience with my dad and my mom, like my mom, she got it, but like my dad, you know, different perspectives, different people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So my mother,
he's worried about the bills you got to pay at one point.
And I feel that because when I finally, you know, got to that point, I said, hey, Pop.
Yeah. I need the big money.
And he's like, go get him.
Okay.
Like, he's very proud. My mother, same thing. But how she connected to me was she watched the tournaments. She started watching them so that she could be more connected to me in that way. So she knew where I was going
that's
all the
crazy.
Time. You know, so she could say, like, what is my girl doing? Like, what's my baby doing? And so what she did was she would tune in, and now that's like a normal.
She understands chickens now.
Yeah, she texts me, and she's like, "Oh my god, great job, Otaku! I'm so proud of you. You won. Oh, you're so great."
She's watching the stream.
Shout out to Cuddle Mom.
like they both, in their own way, have really like helped me feel comfortable in doing this. They didn't shame me for it. I understand the concerns. I think at the time I was definitely defensive about it because it's something I loved. But looking back at it now, they still gave me a house. I didn't have to, you know, to live in. Had, you know, my family, they supported them. I didn't have to pay rent. So
yeah,
I had to stack up my cash. And when I got the sponsors that really, yeah, that was a full-time job. Let's go.
You were really proud. Yeah.
I was
now,
ready.
See,
and I moved
I
out.
Got it covered.
I literally moved out in May.
Whoa.
Because of being a pro player. Because they gave me the 4 years to do it.
We have something about a contract without having the full amount. That was enough. To move out.
Just saying, it takes care of
you.
Me.
Were blessed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Not everybody I know has that.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to have that, I don't know the end goal, what that looks like. I don't know what that looks like 5 years from now. I know what I would like for it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad I'm on this journey. That's it.
As a pro player and working with sponsors, right? Do you think that's a tough question. Do you think it's better to win tournaments or to build your brand? Because at the end of the day, people have to, I don't know how it works with you, but they have to push ads on your platform. You kind of like ads platform.
It's a synergy, I think.
The synergy, yeah, but sometimes people focus more on winning tournaments, but they don't build a brand.
Okay.
So they don't do streams, they don't talk about themselves a lot, they don't put themselves out there.
Mm.
So they are difficult to, they're not marketable, if you get what I mean.
And sometimes it's possible to be a whack player and big
really
brand.
Have that marketing energy works a lot.
Mm.
That's very interesting because it's something I have talked about. So I do feel like some people, they want to focus on just playing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want to do, they're fine. Some people, they want the brand.
Mm.
They want to have the exposure, the recognition, or like the, you know, the opportunities rolling in.
Yeah.
Fine. But this is one thing. If you're trying to do it as a full-time job and you want it to take care of you, you have to have both. Nobody's saying for you to win tournaments all the time.
Mm.
Consistency, I think, is important. Being strong is important.
Yeah.
And when you win some, you win some. And when you lose some, you lose some. But like consistency across the board.
Mm.
It's the brand part that I think a lot of people miss. And that's where things kind of fall apart.
Mm.
I think both are essential. You need both if you're trying to be a full-time pro player.
Yeah,
the works, you know?
There's a business. You have to be marketable for companies to approach you.
Mm-hmm.
Still be yourself, but
No, don't sell your soul. But
I think there are teams that are very genuine about like, hey, you know, if you don't win it, you don't win it. That's okay. Like, we still celebrate you. We still are gonna tell our social media followers that you did a great job.
Yeah.
You did make the cool the graphics to say, hey, Cuddle got this placement. They said that for all the players. Mm. You know how much I love that. That they watch the tournament.
That was coming from your heart.
Shots fire.
Because it's like, dang, even if I don't get first, that doesn't mean I didn't perform well.
Mm.
You know, that doesn't mean I didn't go on a grind to get to whatever placement I got in the top eight or whatever. Now, obviously, sometimes you don't get the top eight or you don't get the dub, the ultimate win. And that's okay. But the fact that a sponsor doesn't make you feel bad for that is huge. Because it's about trusting and believing in your players.
Mm.
You know? And then you help them with the rest to help sculpt them and build them up. Because then in turn, it helps them too.
Yeah, so. Because that's sometimes it's an adventure.
You have to do things for them. They have to do things for you. They have to learn from you. You have to learn from them. And sometimes you build it together.
Exactly.
To the point where everybody has these expectations that are met. Mm. Everybody can, you know, see how the future is going to look like because you're building it together.
It's a union.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't, with Rebel specifically, I thought, like, I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, I don't know what expectations look like fully because I just joined, but... No, like they really just care about the well-being of their players and to, you know, give them the exposure that they deserve, give them the opportunities that maybe they didn't have before they got on the team. COG also, same thing. They just care about the well-being of the players.
Yeah.
I remember my boyfriend saying, wow, you have two sponsors, joined COG, like, in May, you went to Combo Breaker, got top 8, and you didn't, he's like, you didn't even bat an eye, like, you just, you know, he's like, you know, a lot of people would have cracked under the pressure of having two sponsors and, or, like, getting a new one right then, and then, and then going to Combo Breaker in the same boat, and I said, I don't have anything to prove to anybody. They want me for me. Why does any of that other stuff matter? I've been here before. And I wasn't even supposed to have been here before.
Talk your shit.
Talk that
I'm
talk.
I'm used to that. It's just Monday.
Yeah, like, if anything, like, the jersey makes me feel, like, really supported and loved.
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
Yeah.
I feel seen. I feel heard. And I feel comfortable in myself. I don't have to prove myself to anybody. Mm. I don't. So that's why they want me. Because it's me. I think that just matters a lot. I don't know. Anyway.
She kind of showing up.
I like the mindset. I like the mindset. Yeah.
No, but that's the truth though, because you're comfortable with that now.
I you have to feel reach like I've finally point. Gone to that.
That's what people forget. It's not that something you're faking. You have to reach that point.
Because it's been a few years now. Yeah.
I've been doing that. I was doing something.
Yeah. I remember I joined Equinox and I was like, oh my god, like, in my first tournament with them.
I remember that.
Yeah, back then you had the chills and things like that.
I was definitely nervous, but I got fourth at Canada Cup, got fourth at the last chance qualifier in Amsterdam, my first time traveling out of the, I got like so much exposure because of that, and they didn't even, they trusted me, they believed in sculpting me into the player I wanted to be, because they believed in my potential. They gave me a chance, and that's important, because if it wasn't for them, I would not be here at all, and a lot of other people. But I owe a huge amount of gratitude to them, and especially Emily.
Yeah, so. Shout out to Emily. Mm. And if you have to summarize all of this as an advice to people that want to join in, or women that want to join in, that's really important, what would you say? We're going to end up with that.
For women who want to compete or and or be pros,
join the be pros, or maybe be on the commentating side. Join the esport business. Do that a lot, and maybe do that as a job.
I got
That's different.
Gotcha. So have a community behind you. Like have your not. I'm not talking about the whole FTC. Like people move differently. Mm. Having your own support network.
Okay.
As you're pursuing these careers, these jobs in the space, have a support network. People who want to uplift you and be there for you, and not, if you're down, they make you feel even worse. You want people that are there to genuinely see you do better, and you all push each other.
Lift you up.
Along with that, advocate for yourself. Advocate for your work. Be the authentic version of you. Put yourself out there. Do not be afraid to put yourself out there. Do not expect the community to hype you up as well as you can. You have to know for yourself how phenomenal you are. You have to be the one to push open the doors. Be the go-getter. Have people with you who want to help you be that. Because sometimes, especially in these kind of industries, you can't really expect others to just do it for you. Especially when you're like in a marginalized group.
Yeah.
And sometimes it means, you know, you have to push, but having a community behind you really, really helps.
Yeah.
Ask questions. Do not be afraid to ask questions. Reach out. Study the people who are doing what you want to do, whether it's players, commentators, hosts, cast, whatever. Study them, because the way they got there, you know, you could take tips. I've learned a lot from other people who, the way they sculpted their brand, I'm like, I like that. And they're not even players. They're like influencers or like gaming influencers, and like they raise charity for different events and stuff. Like, I learned from them, studying them, and I, so valuable. So yeah, that would be my advice.
Thank you for that. And the support system is really, really, really important in everything.
Yeah.
Of course.
Thank you. That was Izu DW from UFA with my man Jim aka Axis. And thanks again, Cuddle Core.
Thank you, both of you, for having me. Thank you so much.
You blessed too. Have a great day, guys.
Peace.